is it that the people have taken on that the Supreme Court are the final arbiters? Friends, corrupt judges can be removed. Let me show you how this works. One thing that we have noticed concerning the judicial branch in American government is that much of the original plan with its constitutional checks and balances has been set aside. The result has that one branch dominating that of the other two. President George Washington stated, "A just estimate of that love and of power and proneness to abuse it, which predominates in the human heart, is sufficient to satisfy us for the truth of this position. The necessity of reciprocal checks and exercise of political power by dividing and distributing it into different depositories has been established." Alexander Hamilton explained that the judiciary, from the nature of its function, will always be the least dangerous to the political rights of the Constitution. The judiciary is, beyond comparison, the weakest of the three departments of power, and the general liberty of the people can never be endangered from that quarter. The founders' clear constitutional design has been ignored, no doubt. The Supreme Court is no longer simply one branch among the other two. It is now, in fact, literally the supreme branch, or so they would have you think. By assuming the role of policymaker, the judiciary has invaded the constitutional responsibilities assigned exclusively to the other two branches, yet this tendency by the courts is not new. The constitutional foundations for impeachment, the constitutional discussions concerning impeachment, either directly or indirectly, in six independent clauses for the six constitutional references to impeachment were delineated by Thomas Jefferson and is manual a parliamentary practice for the Senate and the House. The House of Representatives shall have the sole power of impeachment, Article 1, Section 2, Clause 5. The Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments, and when sitting for that purpose, they shall by an oath or affirmation, when the President of the United States is tried, the Chief Justice shall preside, and no person shall be convicted without the concurrence of two-thirds of the members present. Clause 3, 6, and 7. Now, judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold and to enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. But the party convicted shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment, trial, judgment, and punishment according to law. According to Article 2, Section 4, the President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Article 3, Section 2 tells us that the trial of all crimes except in cases of impeachment shall be by jury. The President shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States except in cases of impeachment. That's found in Article 2, Section 1. And the sixth clause, which relates indirectly to impeachment, is termed the Good Behavior Clause. The judges both of the supreme and inferior courts shall hold their offices during good behavior. That's Article 3, Section 1, Clause 1. The relationship of this good behavior clause to impeachment was explained during the debates surrounding the Judiciary Act of 1802. Matter of fact, one member noted, "We all fully understand what it is when it comes to good behavior, and the Constitution in that case has given a remedy by impeachment." Now remember, impeachments are confined to political characters, to political crimes and misdemeanors, and to political punishments. To date, there have been 61 federal judges or Supreme Court justices investigated for impeachment, of whom 13 have been impeached. In 1797, William Blount was impeached for seeking to violate American neutrality. In 1803, federal judge John Pickering was impeached for issuing an order which contradicted an act of Congress, for something called judicial high-handedness. Now, friends, judicial high-handedness is acting outside of their scope of authority, acting as if they are above the law, and no regard for the people's rights. Now, he was also charged for drunkenness and blasphemy.
Here we go.
Andrew Young, former mayor of Atlanta, said, "You don't want to think of yourself as a martyr, but if you worship in a religion, Christianity, where the symbol of that religion is a cross, you are reminded every day of your lives that the cross is not something that you just hang on the wall. It's something that comes out as a result of confrontation with evil, and that when you face that confrontation with evil, you're likely to face the possibility with a physical death. But if you don't face that confrontation with evil, you inevitably face a spiritual death." Our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people, Christian. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Human passions unbridled by morality and religion, Christianity, would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. The second president of the United States of America, Mr. John Adams.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
So I will give you all one more.
One of you said to me recently,
"We
shouldn't rock the boat." Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course, all of you good guys and girls out there. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. And again, here we are, friends, much to talk about. We got a lot happening here throughout the United States of America. We got a lot of information coming to the light as to what's going on in the country, and a lot of it's not good news, as we all the well know. And I think yesterday I had showed you, and I'd taken the time to highlight on sonsoflibertymedia.com here, that there's Muslim flags going up quietly around the country, people. So you want to talk about great specificity concerning the Word of God? Here we are. When you look at Deuteronomy 28:43, I can go on to 51, 52, 68, 63 concerning chapter 28 and the curses. It's exactly where America's at. And somehow or another, people are led to believe by the heretics and the hirelings in the pulpit that those don't apply to us, don't they? Really? I think what we're seeing concerning that which is tangible in the present is it's the very evidence that we need to concerning the verification of the Word of God once again. This is what men don't learn from. They don't learn from history. And the reason they don't learn from history is that they don't take heed to the very things that the Lord warns us of. It says, "The stranger that is within thee shall get above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low." We have still yet to see anybody being prosecuted for this massive fraud that's going on across the country right now. And people still think somehow or another that these bad people are just going to go away. No, they're not going to go away. As I've said over the last week, friends, that the Lord is sovereign. He's sovereign in all things, at all times, in all places. He's sovereign over the judgments. He's sovereign over the blessings. And I think the American people have somehow or another, they have forgotten that George Washington, the said first president of the United States of America, when he put his hand on the Bible during his inaugural address, he kissed chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. And what was that all about? The blessings and the curses. And when these curses come upon us, we also, I notice one of the things that we hear across the country too is how we're told by the hirelings and the heretics that are tolerating the pulpits of America that they're telling us, oh, these things are just coming to pass. Nobody can do anything about it. Not in a country like this. You have something, Americans, that nobody's ever been given before. I also want to highlight, if I can go back to George Washington for a moment, it's interesting how there's 15 blessings and there's 55 curses. And the Lord doesn't make it any more clear than Deuteronomy 28, verse 63 and 68. He said, as I rejoice over you to do you good, he said, I'll also rejoice over you to do you evil, people. That is the character of God. He is not going to compromise his holiness or his righteousness to fraternize with his creation. As a matter of fact, I think of Psalm 10. I think of Psalm 50 where the Lord says, you thought altogether that I was one such as yourself. And the Lord said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I also want to say this. Don't get angry at the Lord for your disobedience. Don't blame him for the evils that are taking place when it's your sin that's finding you out. That's where things are at right now. Numbers 32:23. I mean, again, friends, blaming God for evils like blaming the sun for darkness. It's absolutely shameful the way people act today. But it's apparent as to what we're dealing with today. As I just said a moment ago, Muslim flags are going up quietly across the country. They are now claiming victory. Nobody has been prosecuted, which only shows you that this is a United Nations agenda, just as Ron Branstner, our friend, shared with you concerning what is happening. He's been blowing the trumpet for 10-15 years concerning the Muslim invasion, which, by the way, is not so much as an invasion as it is an invitation. As is, it is the perfect hand of God bringing this about to a people that defy him, that are revolters, that are rebellious towards him. So when I'm saying basically declaring the message that we're supposed to declare as Christians, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, we can see and understand why that message is what it is. Because if we don't, there is no in-betweenites. Either you're blessed or you're cursed. Americans somehow or another think they have all the time in the world and things will never happen like that here in America. It's happening here in America. And no, you're not promised tomorrow. Life is but a vapor, and the Bible tells us that we're supposed to redeem the time. Folks, we got our friend Rep. Walter Hudson joining us in just a moment here. He's been making his message made known across the networks from BBC to MSNBC to Newsmax to Fox News. You'll know who he is when you see him in just a moment here. We're just going to get an update as to what's going on concerning this massive fraud, which is not only just happening in Minnesota, but again, the United States of America. I want to go ahead and play a little video here concerning this congressional oversight and how Walter was just recently attacked, but because he didn't play games with the likes of this bald-headed woman here, who definitely doesn't know her place. It's interesting, he didn't get caught up into the games, and because of it, what do they resort to? What they always resort to, their ignorance by name-calling. Check this out.
Opportunity, Ms. Robbins, Mr. Hudson, and Ms. Rarick. Raise your hand if you oppose the pardon of George Santos.
Not playing this game.
It's not a game. It's real life. It's not a game at all. Okay, but I will take your refusal to go on record, not only as cowardice, but that you do agree with that pardon of that fraudster. Moving on. Now raise your hand if you oppose Trump's pardon of this crypto company.
Not participating.
Thank you, Mr. Ballou. Okay, again, I'll take your refusal to raise your hand in opposition. That means that you support this pardon of this corporation that frauded folks to the tune of $100 million.
Refusal to participate is not an expression.
Yesterday, reclaiming my time.
You know the rules of committee? One way or the other.
The rules of committee? This is my time.
I know that I am
do
here
not speak
as a member of the public.
Reclaiming my time. You are not,
you
Mr.
Serve.
Chair. Mr. Chair.
That's what I know.
You are not in order with the rules of the committee. This is my time. This is my time.
That's
I ask
our
the
dollars.
Questions and you answer, but you're too much of a coward to answer. So we're going to move on. So raise your hand if you oppose Trump's pardon of this Minnesota individual.
Ma'am, this grandstanding nonsense.
This is not grandstanding.
Exactly,
this is
what Minnesotans hate about D.C.
This is accountability, and you are hypocrites. So again, I will take your refusal.
Thanks for demonstrating my opening statement.
Mr. Chairman, order, decorum. She's off the rails.
Reclaiming my time. I'm not off the rails, please.
You are totally off the rails.
See, folks, in trying to get these people to negotiate in a rational manner is, as Thomas Paine rightly said, is like trying to administer medicine to a dead horse. They're just, you're dealing with irrationality, folks. And these are the ones that remain in office. They need to be removed and lawfully dealt with. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with Rep. Walter Hudson. Be right back.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you're already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hi, this is Perry Atkinson, President and General Manager of the Dove Radio and TV. What an honor for me to talk about Bradley Dean. Bradley has been a friend of the Dove's ministry and a regular guest on our talk show for many years. His Sons of Liberty broadcast on radio is one of the top platforms in the country for spreading the truth of Christ and bringing resolve to the issues that so many of us face on a daily basis. Bradley and his team has done an excellent job honoring the price that has been paid for our freedoms, both naturally and spiritually. And it's our honor and our pleasure to partner with Sons of Liberty Radio.
BBSRadio.com.
Hey everybody, Alex Newman here, award-winning international journalist with Liberty Sentinel Media. We broke some of the critical stories exposing the COVID hoax, the lies about the injections, and so much more way before it was cool. We exposed the UN, the climate hoax, the U.S. government, and so much more, all from a biblical perspective, with a goal of bringing you all the information you need to keep your family and yourself happy, healthy, and free. Check us out at libertysentinel.org and subscribe for free at libertysentinel.org/subscribe.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Let us not be found amongst the common herd, friends, as you are to be the compeers of angels. Nay, as you are far higher than they, and one with Christ, and as the precious blood has been your ransom price, walk as becometh saints. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. By the way, if you want to check us out on social media platforms, please do. That is sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's who we are, what it is that we've been doing for the last 30 years. Also, check us out on sonsoflibertymedia.com, social media platforms, friends. Top left side, you can watch us live right now and or beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com as well. If you want to throw a comment in, I'll check as I can, friends, on live chat and social media platforms. Or if you want to call in, you can do that as well. That number is 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that. We follow the Christ here. 1 Corinthians 11:1, 1 Timothy 2:5, John 14:6, Acts 4:12. The list goes on. You understand. The Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests. Folks, without further ado, we're going to pull our friend Walter Hudson up, Representative Walter Hudson. And it seems, Walter, that you've just been, well, I don't know, for a better way of saying it, you just kind of forgot us little guys in Minneapolis right now playing the rock star across the country. I'm so happy. I'm so glad what I'm seeing out there, my friend, because it's so important that we get this message out there. And I got a serious question for you. What are your thoughts on Ayanna Pressley? Are you guys like pals? Did you make up behind closed doors, or how did that all transpire at the end of the day? We got no audio. Folks, this is no surprise. We just got done stating that I got audio, should have audio, and why we're not having audio, I have no idea. Walter, can I just have you online, but can I also get you to call in real quick and just talk to the cell phone, please? I don't understand what's going on there. We'll get that fixed as soon as we can. That number's 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. And folks, when you see Walter on social media platforms, what's going to happen is you're just going to probably see a little bit of a delay. Do I have you there, Walter?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And if you can pull me away just a little bit, I can hear my echo. But again, let's go back to Ayanna. How did that all look at the end of the day after she kind of went after you, calling you a coward, this, that, and the other thing? I'm just curious.
Well, it was fascinating experience. She really missed out on the opportunity to get to know me personally and perhaps exchange barber tips, which would have been a moment for her. We've gotten to the point where there's zero curiosity being demonstrated by Democrats about what's happening here in Minnesota. It was a real opportunity lost where they had three legislators from the House Fraud Committee who've been looking at this for the totality of 2025. And of course, many of us have been looking into it prior, and there's been OLA reports going back as far as 2009, if not further, highlighting all this. And instead of being curious about any of that, they just wanted to deviate to silly talking points about Trump.
Yeah, and that's what I first noticed. And I noticed that you weren't getting caught up into their little games, and you said, I'm not going to answer. I'm not going to get caught up into your games. I suppose they're not used to that because they're used to just going ahead and bantering back and forth and attacking whoever they will without any retaliatory response. But it seemed like you gave her one. And when you did so, I just thought, fantastic. We got a new generation coming up that are just saying, we're not going to play these games, we're going to deal with you, and we're going to respond lawfully. And when you didn't play your games, you've seen exactly what she resorted to, what they always resort to. Nothing. Their ignorance. And it's exactly what she did. I did want to let you know really quick, are you aware of her husband, who spent 10 years in prison for drug trafficking?
I had heard something about that, but I'm not familiar.
Yeah, and I'm not dragging out the dirty laundry for anything more than do people understand as to who's in office right now, and that's why I highlighted that. But let's go full circle. What's been going over the what's been going on with Walter Hudson concerning this whole congressional hearing and all the information that you've divulged to the nation and all the networks that have been picking you up? What has been the response concerning you exposing the fraud for what it is nationwide? I'm curious.
Well, it's been overwhelmingly positive. I mean, the feedback from folks across the nation, and certainly here in the state, my constituents, colleagues, has been overwhelmingly positive. There's been a couple of messages here and there about how apparently I was supposed to just roll over and be polite to Ayanna Pressley and Maxwell Frost.
Right.
Sorry, not going to happen. You know, you cross a certain red line, your time's my time. I'm your boss, by the way, when I walk into Congress. Like, that's my house. I've come to do an inspection. You serve me. Like, I'm not there to lie down and, you know,
yeah, take
run
it
over by Ayanna Pressley.
Yeah.
But more importantly than the response, more importantly than how people feel about it, is that walking into this, one of the things that we were all hearing was, we don't care about another hearing. We don't care about another Fox News hit.
Amen.
We don't care about another speech. We want to see action. And what I can tell you is that action is happening. It's not all just theater, right? There is definitely theater. But it has resulted in us being put under the microscope and having a giant spotlight placed on this issue. Mm-hmm. Secretary Bessent of the Treasury was here earlier this week and came out with some announcements and moves that they're going to be making to follow the money. Prosecutions are ramping up. I'm getting phone calls from people who are able to deploy resources that have not previously been deployed against what we're seeing here in Minnesota. So you are going to see real consequences manifest here. It's just going to take some time.
Now, do they know that? Does Walz know that? Does Omar know that? Does Flanagan know that? Does Ellison know that? Does Frey know that? Because what we see is them somehow or another trying to deceive the people into believing that they're defending the people. But the reason the people are under attack is because the crimes that they have committed. And we have to see that through. But I think more than anything, they're acting very brazen and pompous right now. What do you say to that, Walter? Because people want to know. Because the one thing that I'm hearing from across the boards, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. It's like, listen, we pushed this far. We're not stopping now. Something's going to happen. So what say you?
Well, that's absolutely right. And again, I get and share the frustration of people wanting something to happen or not believing that it will because they haven't seen accountability.
Right.
Right. And that's the world that these Democrats have operated in, where they've never been held accountable for anything they do, either politically or criminally. And that's fostered such a profound arrogance. You talk about being brazen. Yeah, they've been very brazen. But what I don't seem to understand and and even their like personal legal strategy going forward, because every single time that Tim Walz or Jacob Frey or Keith Ellison or any of these or Ilhan Omar, every single time they go on the record minimizing the scope of this problem or acting as though it's some kind of a big conspiracy theory. I mean, Walz last week was trying to throw the U.S. Attorney's Office under the bus and act like they're conspiracy theorists for engaging in these prosecutions. That's some pretty interesting stuff to put on the record, as we know that the prosecutions are only going to continue to ramp up. The full scope of the problem is only going to continue to be revealed. And what are you going to have to say when we play, when we are able to play the tape, date and time of when you denied it again and again and again?
So what's let me just push you back to that line then. So what's the tangibility and what is the possibility of seeing what's going to, what you're talking about right now, what we're not quite yet seeing, it hasn't manifested yet. What's coming down the line right now? Can you divulge that to us, or is that still privy or privy information?
Well, I'm certainly not like on the ground in the midst of these investigations, right? Like as a legislator, I'm not an investigator, I'm not a prosecutor, and I'm certainly not getting consulted by the people who are regarding or briefed regarding their ongoing activities. But what I can tell you is that based on the chatter that I'm hearing and that others are hearing, the administration's not playing. They are going to bring every tool at their disposal to not only reveal what's happening in our state, but to assign blame, produce charges, and ensure that people go to prison.
And are we talking from the top to the bottom concerning the administration of the state?
I think there's nobody safe, no matter their position, all the way up to Walz. Nobody just gets immunity from criminal culpability if the facts establish that that is indeed the case.
Amen. Well, I do want to say this, going full circle back to the question that I just asked you. You're kind of the guy that's been used as the forefront. And, you know, Walter, if you end up in the office of the governor of the state of Minnesota, first of all, don't tell anybody else anything but what I told you first. That's what you're destined to do, guy. Because what I see playing out right now, if you don't mind me saying, I see the Lord just processing you through. I believe that you're probably going to be humbled several times on the way there, but I believe that's what he's doing you with you right now, is forging you in the fire to put you in that position. So let's see what transpires. But in saying that, you've been the guy they picked out. You've been the guy that's been on all these networks right now concerning what's going on. And I want to reiterate to all of those that are watching and listening to us right now, this isn't just Minnesota. We're seeing this in Maine. We're seeing this all across the country. Let's get right back to that in just a moment, Walter. I'm going to come right back, folks. We're talking to Representative Walter Hudson concerning this massive fraud. We're going to come right back to it in just a moment. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, 281-845-4704. Again, we'll be right back.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think. and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
Hi, my name's Floyd Brown from the Western Center for Journalism and westernjournalism.com. I love Bradley Dean. I'll tell you what, here's a man with passion that is going out and providing important messages to young people, and I really salute him for what he's doing. That's why here at westernjournalism.com, we run Bradley Dean's op-eds every single week. If you want to read Bradley Dean at westernjournalism.com, come on over. And I really enjoy the radio program, too.
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed, real printed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day. And we don't waste time with nonsense. We have some of the best red pill writers in the country, including Bradley Dean. And we tell you the truth you need to know. It's unlike anything you've seen before. Email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you're already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
In a world filled with compromise and those who cower from speaking the truth, listening to Bradley Dean of the Sons of Liberty is a breath of fresh air in a day and age when you are searching for someone to just tell it like it is. If you are ready to hear the unadulterated truth from the Word of God that will feed your soul, open your eyes, give you understanding, and turn your heart to the Father, if you are ready to take a stand and realize your duty before God and man to preserve the freedom so graciously bestowed upon us by God Almighty and our founding forefathers, if you're ready to set aside the counterfeit and embrace the real, then join us weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. for an encounter that will enlighten your understanding and point you directly to Jesus Christ, the everlasting light.
Amen.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com. We have our friend Representative Walter Hudson with us right now. And I want to pick up from where we just left off, folks. I got to, just so everybody understands what's going on here, especially to our affiliates, it's not you, it's on our end. We got a brand new computer system. Everything's running. That feedback you're getting right now, that's my bad, not anybody else's. That should be all fixed up. I had given you the heads up that we got a new system. So thank you for your patience as we work through what it is that needs to be worked through to get it right. Okay, so let's get back over to our friend Walter Hudson. And you've probably seen Walter on the networks across the country over the last couple of weeks concerning these congressional hearings again, concerning the expose of this massive fraud that's taken place in the state of Minnesota. I think it's pertinent for people to understand, due to the fact that we're on national radio, Walter, that this isn't happening just in Minnesota. They're finding a very similar pattern going on across the country. And P.S., if you didn't know, they're now finding this same exact pattern as to what's going on in Minnesota, now over in Sweden as well. So there's a lot more going on behind the scenes than what we know right now. But let's go back to the United States. Let's go back to the state of Minnesota and ask you, again, let's go inside, because I want people to hear from someone that was just recently there. And again, you are the guy. You're the point man concerning these hearings, concerning this fraud. The only one that I've seen really angry about what's going on here is Tom Emmer, which I'm kind of surprised. He's the one that's saying, you know, matter of fact, Walter, he said, you can run, but you cannot hide, to none other than Tim Walz. And it was like, okay, now he's talking biblical vernacular, Numbers 32:23, and he didn't know it. But with that, he seems righteously indignant about what's going on. He seems to be the one that's really, let me say it for a better way of saying it, the way people understand it, hot-headed about what's going on. And he's zeroed out concerning what's going on. Have you had any conversations with Tom concerning his feedback? Because it seems like he is in for Walz in this current administration to end up in handcuffs, if I'm correct, in reciting or parroting what it is that he's been telling us.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've had conversations with the entire Republican congressional delegation, certainly while I was in D.C., along with my colleagues, Marion Rarick and Kristen Robbins, who's the chair of the Fraud Committee. And yeah, they're all upset. Now, Tom is probably the most verbose and, as you say, hot-headed about it, which, you know, he's a man after my own heart in that regard. I think he would agree that him and I are kind of echoes of each other in our respective bodies. And when he was in the House of Representatives, he could have himself much the same way that I do, and vice versa. So, yeah, I mean, he's upset. He's definitely probably been the loudest of the delegation about it. But I assure you, you talk to any one of our Republican Congress people from Minnesota, they have all had it way up past the neckline with all this corruption that's taking place in the state.
And rightfully so. Rightfully so. As a matter of fact, Walter, I just met with somebody this morning in Burnsville, Minnesota, and what was echoed to me was the fact that they want to see these individuals hanged for their crimes. And there was no tongue-in-cheek. It wasn't funny. It wasn't a joke. And if you look at the crimes that are being committed against us right now, you look at federal law, I know that's extreme, but you know what? That is God's statute. And if we look at the way that the Lord brings about resolve, it's when we meet him on his terms, not on how we meet man on his terms, so we can make more money in the process by throwing him into a prison system where he's unrepentant. That's man's system. Yeah. I'm saying that for the purpose, again, I'm trying to convey to you the frustration of the people. Again, going back to, it's just nothing's going to happen. It's just talking. It's like, no. That can be you. That's not me. And going fast forward, I know that at this point, Walz is now given in to the fact that he's not going to rerun. But he's still out there, you know, inciting riot is what he's doing. And by the way, I'm also finding out, I just heard Lucero today, Senator Lucero, talk about on Newsmax about how all these individuals that are out rioting in Minneapolis are just like that of what took place, 5 years ago with George Floyd. They're all paid provocateurs coming in from other cities. You know, and I think people, when they put together federal and state working together, concerning distraction and giving more control over the federal government by tying the noose upon the American people, they have every right in the world to believe that. And why am I saying that, Walter? Because nobody's been prosecuted. Nobody's been handcuffed. Nobody's been indicted. And again, I think that's where it all comes back to more than anything with the people. But let's move beyond that. What does it look like on the other side, in the sense of them putting on this this image that everything's good, and now what we're seeing, instead of them being sorry for the crimes or coming to the light and actually telling on themselves, what they're doing now is saying, let's create a lawsuit and go attack these guys now, and we're going to be the law enforcers, like Ellison, what he's doing now. He just indicted a guy for another $3 million for this fraud that he's a part of, as you all well know, and you've highlighted in your congressional hearing. So if there's anything that I'm missing in between, you have all the insight. You can go ahead and share with us at will. But I think, again, I want to know what it is like on the inside, what you're seeing concerning the real response going on with Omar, instead of putting up this front that everything is just fine and everything's, you know, all fuzzy and warm.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, and so I'll pick a couple of things to focus on. The first thing is the dynamic of escalation that we're currently seeing, where you've got Tim Walz using language, talking about how we're at war with the feds. You got Mayor Jacob Frey telling ICE to get the F out of town.
Yep.
That was not off the cuff. That was scripted. Like that they've decided that this is how they talk and behave now. And, you know, all these others, Ilhan Omar. The escalation will only continue to get more tense and dangerous as long as these state leaders, these elected leaders on the Democrat side, continue their defiance against U.S. code, continue their defiance against federal law enforcement, and indeed encourage people to commit crimes, which they are doing.
Yep.
They are telling people to go out there and impede federal law enforcement operations. That is a crime, not just the doing of the impediment, but the inciting of people and the organizing and the material support. You talk about people getting paid to come into town to do it, right? Like, that's a serious problem, and it's only going to resolve in one of two ways. It's going to resolve because the Trump administration gives up, or because the Democrats in Minnesota give up. And there's no other possible outcome here. And, of course, the side that needs to give up is the side that's corrupt and fostering violations of the law. Now, the other thing that I'll point out, I mean, you bring up George Floyd, and a lot of people have been making those comparisons to what happened back in 2020. And I got to tell you, I've been having conversations with people on the street in North Minneapolis. The black community, they're being very quiet right now. You're not seeing a lot of rhetoric coming out of, like, foundational black Americans at this point.
Yep.
And there's a reason for that. It's because they're looking at all this and they're thinking to themselves, this ain't my fight.
Yeah.
This is what I was verbatim told by a guy yesterday. He's like, why is it that these guys think that we should be the ones going out tearing up our own neighborhood in order to protect them? Yep. Like, maybe it's time for them to throw some skin in the game. Like, if they really want to burn the city down, then they can have fun doing it. We're not going to do it for them. That's the attitude that's under the surface and unreported right now. And so what you're seeing amongst the Democrat constituency and their traditional political coalition is that all is not well on their side of the aisle.
Yep.
There's a lot of dissension. A lot of it's quiet right now, but it's there and it's meaningful and it matters. So the dynamic of how this ends up playing out could be very fascinating, depending on how long Walt wants to keep this up.
Yeah, well, it's like William Randolph Hearst said. He said, "You know, you furnish the pictures, I'll create the war." And what they're doing is they're leaning into the black communities. By the way, that's where I was born and raised, in that area. So I understand that. In other words, these people are trying to use them to fabricate this support that they really don't have. And it goes back to Saul Alinsky, caused the enemy to believe there's a lot more of us than there really is when they don't have the support. That's how tyrants do what tyrants do. It's funny that you said that, because just yesterday I was in St. Cloud, Minnesota, where many of these Somalians have colonized. And it was interesting because last week they showed a video of ICE over there, and there's two ICE officers, and you've probably seen the video, but you've seen a bunch of these Somalians begin to surround the ICE officers. And it looked like something that you would have took concerning the film straight out of Somalia, because it was like if they had stones in their hand, they would have started to stone them. I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm not saying that to be smart, but that's exactly the vibe that I got when I watched it. And so what I did is, when I was there yesterday, Walter, I started talking to the Muslims. I just started asking the question about Ilhan Omar. And I started, and that's the best way to get the answers you need, just like what you're talking about in North Minneapolis with the black folks. Exactly. Talk to the people. Don't take it for someone else, concerning their conversation or hearsay. But I asked these two young girls, I said, I got a question for you. And they looked at me and said, what's that? I said, so what is your thoughts on Ilhan Omar? I said, do you really feel that she's in your corner? Do you really feel that she's there for the Muslim community? And so they kind of said what they said. And I said, it's interesting, and I believe you know this, that when they did a Muslim celebration, I believe it was at the Target Center. This was probably 5-6 years ago, maybe not that long, maybe a little bit sooner. But when Ilhan Omar came out as a special guest, the entire audience started to boo her. See, that's the stuff that the people are not being told. They just keep the cameras on their little installed point individuals that are driving this radical message. What say you?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I can tell you with no doubt whatsoever that there is an incredible amount of dissension within the Somali community because it's all based on tribes. It's all based
that's
on
right.
tribes and
yep.
clans. And this is something that we as Americans have no conception of. Like, we don't understand why you would even care what your clan is or what your tribe is. But for them, it's everything. It is their right. But above being a Muslim, above being a Somali, above being East African, it's the tribal stuff. And she represents hers at the detriment of all.
Can I have you hang on for one more segment?
Sure.
Cool. Folks, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com. We got Walter Hudson with us talking about this fraud. From the inside out, we'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio. Martin Luther King Jr. rightly stated that I must admit, America, that I was initially disappointed in being so categorized as an extremist. But as I continued to think about the matter, I gradually gained a bit of satisfaction from being an extremist. Was not Abraham Lincoln an extremist? This nation cannot survive half slave and half free. Was not Thomas Jefferson an extremist? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So the question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of an extremist we will be. We will be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? He goes on and says, history will record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people. Patrick Henry said in a speech to the House of Burgess in May of 1765 that it cannot be emphasized too clearly and too often that this nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, people of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. We're talking about Rep. Walter Hudson right now. Just shooting from the hip concerning what's going on the inside. We'll get into more particulars in a moment. I want you to check this out. This was at the Capitol. I believe it was yesterday. I could stand corrected on that. But I want you to understand what is in fact going on. So the high schools in Minneapolis shut down. They're all in cahoots, friends, shut down. And so what they did is they brought a bunch of Somali kids to the Capitol. And when they brought them to the Capitol, I seen probably 30 or 40 of them. There could have been more than that. But I want you to see what transpired once they got to the Capitol. These are Somalia kids, okay? Oh, hang on a second. I got to get the sound here again. Just got this new system. Oh, that's great. That's great. Folks, here, I'll just show you as a visual what happens. What happened is the Somalian kids, they show up at the Capitol. They're let out of school. And once they get to the Capitol, guess what they do? A riot ensues. You can't make this up. So we just had Walter Hudson talk during the last segment about how there's tribes. People don't understand that they're bringing their tribal culture with them into America. I'm not talking about those that are here to assimilate. I'm talking about those that are here not to assimilate, but to carry over whatever it is that they wanted to bring back overseas from Somalia to America. I'm here to tell you they can take it back with them, friends, because I know that people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. So let's get back to our friend Walter here. Again, we want to make the most of our time. Sometimes I wish that gift of gab would just stop. Walter, I want to make the most of our time here, guys. So let's go fast forward to the impeachment process that I just had Ben on Wednesday, and we were talking about that. So where are things with that whole process now with the impeachment of Mr. Tim Walz?
Well, I have had this confirmed, but it's my understanding that articles of impeachment have been drafted by somebody. And I anticipate that they will be introduced at some point. And my understanding of how this process works is that articles of impeachment are introduced similar to how a bill is introduced, where it'll be, once it's put in the hopper, it'll get referred to a committee of jurisdiction, and then the chairs, because we have two chairs, co-chairs now with the tie in the House, get to determine whether or not they're going to hear those articles of impeachment in their committee. So everything's very much up in the air in terms of how that process may unfold. What I will tell you is that impeachment is, we're basically charging. That's the charging process of going after Walz, where we're saying this is what we believe he has done and what he's guilty of. In order for those charges to move forward to a trial in the Senate, there has to be a simple majority vote on the House floor, which means that we would have to have all 67 Republicans plus a Democrat come across over and agree that we're going to make these charges against Walz. That's very unlikely to happen simply because in order for those articles to even reach the House floor, they would have to pass out of what's called the Rules Committee, which is the committee that decides what we do with our calendar on the House floor. And again, there has to be cooperation from Democrats in that committee to even get the articles to the floor. So what this is going to do is it's going to generate a lot of conversation, but I don't expect that it's going to result in actual impeachment occurring or a trial occurring in the Senate. Despite that, and there's a lot of argument amongst ourselves in the broader conservative ecosphere about whether or not it even makes sense to introduce articles of impeachment, given the unlikelihood that it's ultimately going to go anywhere. But I think at this point, it's going to happen. Like, whoever has these drafted, they're going to drop them. So the conversation of whether or not it should happen is irrelevant at this point. At this point, it's how do we talk about it, and what purpose does it serve? I think it serves the purpose of, at the very least, demonstrating that we as elected officials take what's happening in our state seriously enough to elevate it to this level. And if a guy's going to do that, if he's going to put forward these articles, then that conversation is something that's going to need to be had, and people are going to have to go on the record stating which side of the question they're on.
Yeah, so I'm laughing sarcastically. Let me ask you this way. What needs to happen for our said representatives that are supposed to make reference to one law, what needs to happen there before they actually impeach the man? I mean, it's their money as well if they didn't profit from it. But again, in all seriousness, Walter, what needs to happen before they actually impeach anybody? I mean, the articles of provision are there for this purpose. I mean, long ago, he should have been impeached and prosecuted. But again, what needs to happen? And again, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being serious about what I'm asking you here.
Well, I'll try to give you as serious of an answer as I can. I mean, if you look at the text in Article 8 of the Minnesota Constitution, I believe the phrase is an official can be impeached for corrupt conduct in office or for crimes and misdemeanors. That's a pretty broad scope. It's been interpreted very narrowly, and we've never had a governor who was successfully impeached in the state of Minnesota. But quite frankly, what needs to happen is people need to actually elevate the law and morality and decency and righteousness above political considerations and political loyalty. Now, if that sounds like a miracle, it's probably because it is. The likelihood of Democrats in this state setting aside their political calculations and political loyalties in order to uphold righteousness is not something I'm going to place any of my money on.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you another question. A viewer right now is asking the question about, here's what it says. If you get the opportunity, Bradley, could you ask Walter about Trump calling the Insurrection Act onto Minnesota? What is the possibilities of that, and what does that look like?
Well, I need to do some looking into exactly how that does look like, what the process is, and how it would be implemented. But certainly you're hearing a lot of chatter from folks of prominence about the likelihood of the Insurrection Act being invoked. And listen, I tend to agree with Scott Jennings, who was on today talking about how if this isn't insurrection, then what is?
Exactly.
You've got a governor who's threatening to deploy the National Guard to fight federal agents in the streets. You've got a mayor telling federal officers to get the F out of his town. I mean, what more do you need? You've got these folks who are engaging in materially supporting violations of U.S. code. If that's not insurrection, I would really love somebody to provide me with a definition that does fit.
Well, I can add a little fuel to that fire. Ilhan Omar, I got the video. I played it yesterday on the show where she's saying that we're going to get back at the people that did this to us. Did what to them? What, enforce the law against their crimes as if to suggest that they're supposed to go without consequence? No joke. I think if there's one person, I guess I can't say that because I see people equally angry about what's going on from Tim Walz to Ellison to Frey. Frey just keeps putting himself out there. I mean, it seems like their whole objective is just to protect the Somalians. As if to suggest that the Somalians aren't the one, what, 99 out of the 100 that I've seen have been Somalians? What are we supposed to say, that they're of some different ethnicity? But it's almost like because you call them out, which that's not the purpose of anybody calling them out. It's because you broke the law, and it's your community that broke the law. It seems like it's their objective to protect these people and them alone against the people of the state of Minnesota.
I think that's a fairly fair analysis, because what's happening here is the crime of noticing, right? This is what the left and the legacy media do, is they turn the story into your reaction to what's happening instead of what's happening, right? So it's, oh my gosh, you guys are pointing the finger at a thing that's happening. Why are you doing that? What could your motives possibly be for noticing the thing? And listen, like I've said, I think I had this conversation with somebody else on a segment earlier today. The responsibility for the reputation of the Somali community is the Somali community.
Yep.
Like we can't do that.
Exactly.
I've had these relationships with these guys, these community leaders, and tried to talk to them about, you know, shared values and all of that. And a lot of them have come out of the woodwork and tried to plea for me to defend them publicly. And my response is, listen, you got to give me something to stand by. You got to give me something to stand next to. I need to see public cooperation with law enforcement, public cooperation with prosecutors, public declarations and action taken to hold your own folks accountable and to project a standard of decency and lawful commerce and value production, right? Like, you got to do something for me to be able to stand by. I'm not going to just stand by you and say, oh shucks, I'm sorry, we noticed. Like that's not a narrative I'm going to go with.
Exactly. And I think we judge men not by the color or their ethnicity. We judge them by the content of their character. And it's the content of their character that's MIA in this particular situation. And they want you to bypass that. Yeah, their fruit, in other words, Matthew 7:16-20. Okay, so I got about 30 seconds left, Walter. So where do we go from here? What should we expect? 30 seconds.
Well, it's all, again, it's all going to fall on Governor Walz. It's up to him, and it's up to the Democrat leaders in the state to decide if they're going to continue this reckless behavior. If they do, then they're going to continue to escalate until the insurrection is put down. And so it's entirely in their court how this is going to play out. And no matter what ends up happening, you can certainly expect there are going to be a lot of prosecutions going forward.
Amen. I totally appreciate you, Guy. Love having you on, Walter. We'll talk at you soon. Have a good time. With your family. Okay, thanks. Folks, love you by what we do, and we will talk to you in 23. I got you for two tomorrow. See ya.